Acts chapter number 2, and I've been looking forward to getting back tonight. The theme that we're looking at in the book of Acts is back to basics, and we've mentioned that several times, back to basics. We get back to the early church, and they had no precedent. They had nobody to pattern after. This was a new thing the Lord was doing, and especially when we come to Acts chapter number 2, and the empowerment of the church. And that's what we're looking at tonight. The empowered church. Acts chapter 2 verse 1 down through verse 13. The Bible said, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. And so we're going to look down through these verses tonight. And in chapter number 2, we actually see the fulfillment of the promise that was made in chapter 1, verse number 8, where Jesus told them to go and to wait. And he said in chapter 1, verse 8, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's pray before we go any further tonight. Father, we come this evening, and I want to thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit to the early church. And Father, as we think about and look at these things tonight, we realize that you've given us the same gift. Maybe not in the same exact way. Well, not in the same way, but we still have the same Holy Spirit. The same power is available unto us. And Father, as we come tonight, we realize and recognize that more than any time in our lifetimes, we need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray and ask that you would help me as I stand and try to preach and teach tonight. I pray that you would give me boldness. I pray that you would help me to say everything that you'd have me to say and nothing that you don't want me to say. Father, help us. That's what we come for, to get help from the Word of God. We have many objects of prayer, and we bring them before you tonight. Lord, you know each and every one. We pray that this message, this time together, would be a blessing. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And amen. So we're looking at the empowered church tonight. And the Lord Jesus told them, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, Pentecost was not the birth of the church. And I've covered that many times over the years and in the past few weeks. It was not the birth of the church. The people was there. The product was there. They had been baptized. They believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They were there in faith. They were there in obedience to the word of the Lord. But what happened on this day was the church was empowered from on high. Now, if the church has no Spirit, with a capital S, if the church has no Holy Spirit, then all we are is a breathless body. All we are is like what it's talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's a lot of form of godliness. There's a lot of church bodies out there. But what we really need is the breath, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost working in our midst. That is what actually gives us life and power to get the work of God done. We are not able to do the work of God in and of our own selves. You know, it's not like taking a hoe and hoeing the garden and saying, okay, we're done. We don't just come to church and preach a little bit, man, the multitudes get saved. There has to be the element of the Spirit of God working in our midst. We don't do it. We don't make spiritual things happen in the energy of our flesh. The word Spirit in the Bible, chapter 2, verse number 4, and every other place you find the Spirit, it's the Greek word pneuma. Pneuma, it's where we get our word pneumonia, P-N-E-U-M word. If you have pneumonia, what's that effect? Your breath. I've had it before. You can't breathe. Pneumonia is awful. It's terrible to have it. You don't have any breath. If you have any pneumatic tools, that means tools that are powered by air. You know, you got to plug it up to an air compressor. Might have an air gun, pump your tires up, your pneumatic tires. And so when you see that word pneuma, that's a word that means air, breath. The Spirit of God is what breathes life into the church. They couldn't do anything before the Spirit of God came in power. They could just meet and they prayed and they were obeying the Lord, but they had no power to fulfill the Great Commission. They had met in obedience to the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. So the Lord said, all right, here's what you do. Go to Jerusalem and don't leave. Don't leave until you receive the power of the Holy Ghost. They had met together in prayer. Chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. But up to this point, nobody got saved. Up to this point, I don't know that they've done anything else. Meet, pray. I'm sure if they were true believers, there was some eating in there. There had to be. They met together, but they weren't fulfilling the Great Commission. They did not have the power of the Holy Ghost yet. So we want to see how they were empowered in chapter number 2. First of all, I want you to see where they were empowered. Verse number 1, the Bible said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and I preached on that 2 Wednesday nights ago, the day of Pentecost and what that means, but when that day was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now I want us to pay particular attention to that tonight. They were all, the Bible says, with one accord in one place. They were one spiritually. They were in one accord, in one place. They were physically in one place. They were spiritually in one place together. So they were one in accord. They were in one place, the Bible says. We find this all throughout the Bible, and I've really begun to notice and think about this a whole lot since all this COVID and quarantine and stay home. I've been seeing things in the Bible in a different light, things that I hadn't really noticed or paid attention to before. But you find this theme through the Bible that God's people are in one accord. Yes, we have to be in unity, but we find them all throughout the Bible in one place, gathered together. Psalms 133:1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. They were together in one place and they were unified. We have to be unified. We understand that. I think everybody here tonight would agree we must be in unity spiritually. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? No. We got to be on the same page, doctrinally. We got to be on the same page spiritually speaking. We have to be in unity to do the work of the Lord. But how many of us tonight have ever given much thought to the importance of physically being together? I mean, we've preached on that. We've heard that preached on. You need to go to church. You don't think about how much you need to go to church until you're told you can't go to church. Amen. Don't go to church. Don't meet together. All of those things. But as we look at the Bible, is it important that we physically meet together? And as I study the Bible, I come to the conclusion, I believe it's very important that God's people are physically together. I know that flies against the face of the world, but you're here tonight, so praise the Lord for that. But until recently, I don't think any of us would have given much thought to, well, is that important that we meet together? Well, that's just a given. That goes without saying that we meet together. We've always met together. And I don't mean we at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, but I mean Christians all down through the centuries have risked their lives to meet together, to come together. You know the fish symbol? You ever see that on the back of a car? You know where that come from? The ancient Christians used that as a symbol to identify one another. And the fish symbol, the word in the Greek language, is a word that is a, I don't even know how you would explain it, but it means, it's ithkos, but it means Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. They use that little symbol to identify and come together. It's important to find one another, to be together one another in the Bible. But now we are confronted, and I'm really praying and really trying to be sensitive about what the Spirit of God is saying in my life. And you pray for me. I mean, being a preacher has put you in a predicament sometimes. But now we are confronted with, and I'm telling you, it's going to come. It's going to happen again. Stay home. Safer at home. Social distancing. Don't get close to one another. We're practicing that, by the way, as much as possible. You know, we're doing those things. But if you look at things in the big picture, what's that doing to people mentally? What's that going to do to little children growing up in school and living in a box and not getting within? I think that's going to be harmful to our children. Can you imagine growing up like that? Be afraid of everybody and everything, and don't touch anybody or get close to anybody. That flies in the face of everything that we as humans know and understand. If you need comforting, if you need help, what do? You go to somebody. You have a parent, you have a teachers even. People that you can feel safe around. But we are going to have a generation of young people that are going to be raised if something doesn't change. And I don't believe it's going to. I've done a whole lot of reading on vacation and some reminding of things. And let me tell you something about tyranny. Tyranny never entertains that liberty would be a good answer to anything. And what I mean by that, when tyranny is on the rise, tyranny never says, just let people decide for themselves what is best. A tyrant always comes along and says, I'm going to tell you what to do, and you're going to do it, and if you don't do it, you're going to jail. You're going to get in trouble with the law. And that's what we have. I am not against anybody wearing masks. Please don't take that I'm saying that tonight. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't matter to me if somebody feels that would be helpful to them or that's what they need to do. That doesn't bother me a bit. But it bothers me a lot to be told that this is what you have to do. If you don't do this, you're going to be in trouble with the law. And we're already there. We're already there. That's happening all round about us. That's a scary place to get to in our society, socially. The early church, to have power, had to be in unity, and they were all in one place, is what the Bible says. Now, This thing, if we're not careful, will divide us. It's already dividing our society. Somebody told me today about a Facebook page. It was called something like Pro-Mask Businesses in Boom. Now I'm going to tell you, that's a bunch of Hitler brown shirts. Say, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you need to know your history. You know how Hitler convinced the Germans that it was all right to kill 11 million people? He turned them all on one another. Every communist society does that. It makes an enemy out of people, and it turns one group against another group, and they start snitching and telling on each other and calling the law on one another. You find that Facebook page and read it. That's where we're at. People think that the police ought to go up to Harris Teeter and anybody walking in without a mask on ought to be arrested. We're already there. It's a scary thing. If you really think about what's going on, it's a scary thing. You say, preacher, that don't have anything to do with... Yes, it does. See, the early church had to be in one accord, in one place, to have the power of God. And we've got to be in one accord, and it is important to be in one place. God's people all down through the history of time have been together in order to do the work of God. Couldn't they have just had online church and had the day of Pentecost? I don't believe they could have. I don't believe the Spirit of God would have showed up. I don't believe the day of Pentecost would have happened had they stayed home. You say, preacher, that doesn't apply. They had no reason to stay home. Yes, they did. Their leader had just been crucified. Crucifixion is 100% lethal. Would they not have had a good reason to stay at home? You think I'm going to go up to Jerusalem and hang around? They just crucified Jesus. I'm not going to get in there with that bunch. All they got to do is send in the Roman soldiers and we're all done for. But Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and get in one place and stay together and be in unity. I'm telling you, that's a miracle. That we could come together in one place and be in unity. But to have the power of God, we've got to have that. Oh yes, they had a very good reason to stay at home. Let me give you some Bible things just to think about tonight. The only, and again, I'm trying to be very careful. It doesn't bother me for people to wear masks. That's not what I'm saying. But let me tell you what happened in the Bible. The only quarantine in the Bible, the only place in the Bible that I find anything remotely like what is going on today is in the book of Leviticus 13:25. Now this is a good principle to live by. In the Bible, they did quarantine themselves if they were sick. It was a self-imposed quarantine. Just like we do today and have done for hundreds of years. If you're sick, stay at home. If you're sick, say, I'm not shaking hands. I might have something. Stay away from people. Here's what happened in the Bible. Leviticus 13:45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. So a person in the Bible that had leprosy would cover their lip. And when somebody was coming down the road, they would say, unclean, unclean. They would say, stay away from me, I'm sick. You have that in the Bible. Now let me tell you some things about leprosy, because I know how the news is, and I know how our minds get all, but guess what? Leprosy was very contagious. But God never told all of them to cover their lip, just the ones that had leprosy. He said, you need to cover your lip. Well, what about keeping everybody else safe? Let me tell you something about leprosy. You can study this out, read about it for your own self. Do you know you could have leprosy for 20 years and it not show up? And leprosy was very contagious. Do you know how it was transmitted? Bodily fluids. Coughing and sneezing on somebody else, and you can infect. But God never told the whole nation of Israel, now everybody needs to do this. He said the ones that are sick need to do this. You need to cover your lips so other people. You could be contagious for a year to 20 years and nobody showed up. But when the so when the leper was sick, he covered his lip. He cried, unclean, unclean. Everybody knew that he was sick and to stay away because it was very contagious. This is how disease is. If you're sick, stay at home. This is how we've treated this in modern times. And I don't have all the answers, and I'm not telling anybody to do anything except to think. To think, what is really going on in our society? Is this what we need to be doing? Or is this the devil trying to divide us? When I was on vacation, I was sitting there enjoying it. And I told Kim one day, I said, this is reality. And what I was looking at was lots of families, people enjoying their time, people interacting with one another, people were enjoying time with their family, they were involved in eating and playing and whatever. And I told her, I said, this right here, this life that we're seeing, this is reality. I said, but as soon as you turn on Facebook, as soon as you turn on the news, guess what? That is unreality. That is somebody else putting their spin on what you need to be afraid of, what you need to be doing. And all I'm saying tonight, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. So we really know what to do. Because I tell you, nobody knows what to do. Other countries are not even doing what we're doing. I've said, and I believe it with all my heart, we need to get to the place where we are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Not by what the news says. Amen. I was coming to church tonight. I'm going to hear about this when I get. Guess what I did? I picked up a hitchhiker. Coming to church tonight. I come around the curve. There's a man walking down the road, and the Spirit of God said, pick him up. I did not debate in my mind, what if he's got COVID? What if he's going to try to rob me? What if this? What if that? Now, I don't pick up very much. It's been a long time, and I sure don't if the girls are in the car. They would shoot me over that. I wouldn't have to worry about who I'd picked up. They would shoot me when we dropped them off. But I was coming to church, and I come around the curve, and there's a man walking down the road, and the Spirit of God said, pick him up. I just done it. He come around, he got in the car, I looked in his eyes, I could tell he was sober. First thing he said to me, he said, thank you for picking me up. And I had my Bible on the car seat, and I've got my suit on and my tie on. And I started the car and I took off, and he said, if you don't mind me asking, he said, are you a preacher? I said, how'd you know? Well, I told him my name and he told me his name first, but I said, how'd you know? And he began to talk to me. He said, you know, he said, I asked the Lord to send me a true follower of Christ to pick me up tonight. Say, preacher, how come you were impressed to do that? Did you witness to him? I sure did. He had a good testimony. I had a good... You know how you can feel somebody's right or not? How come the Lord had you do that? Well, he prayed that somebody that was a true follower of Jesus Christ would pick him up. And I believe that's why I did. Say, preacher, what if you'd have got... Well, I'm here. If I hadn't, you know what? It'd still been all right. What if he'd have killed you? I'd be in heaven while you're sitting here worrying about if you're going to get sick or not. I'm telling you, we need to learn the reality of following the Spirit of God in our lives, not the world, not the world. We've heard it over and over and over. Be not conformed to the world, be not conformed to the world. But, man, it's so easy to be. The world preaches long and loud. I've been in church all my life. And believe it or not, a lot of it I remember. Because I've been preaching well over half my life. Do you know what? I don't ever remember going to church. I've pastored now a long time. There's never been a time where we've went to church, we've gathered together down through the years, and anybody said, you know what? We don't have nothing to pray about. Nobody's sick. If you get to the place where nobody's sick and has heart disease and cancer and everything else under the sun, you're in heaven. Because that's how this life is. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be cancer. Tell you what, I'd rather have COVID than cancer. Is anybody else like that? I think I have a knot on my hand. I was watching Fred Sanford last night. Kim don't like that. Every little thing happens to him, he said, oh, this is it, I've got it. Did anybody see that last night? That's hilarious. Lamont talked him into going and getting a lung screening, and they get their results mixed up, and it's actually Lamont, you know. Young people don't even know what that is. But what is actually different now than has been all of our lives is just the continual talk on the news. Is this the good Lord protecting us, or is this the godless government trying to dictate every little part of our lives and divide us and get our... I'll tell you, our country is on life support. That's what we need to be praying for, is our nation. Because I'll tell you, this is going to divide and divide and divide, and even people in churches won't be able to agree and get along. You watch, it's coming. We need to have the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, this ain't got nothing to do with it. Yes, it does. We got to have the power of God, and we got to be in unity, and we have to be in one place. There's no other way that I see in the Bible that God's people get God's work done. Notice, second of all tonight, I'll get faster. Notice when the power came in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. I've dealt with the day of Pentecost, but it had to be fully come. God's workings are always in accordance with His timing. Now, is the devil working in the world today? You better believe that he is. But you better not count God out in what he can do. If he can get a people that he can put his spirit on, that he can put his power on, don't discount what God's able to do. God always works in his timing. His timing. Galatians 4:4 said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness of time was come, Jesus came into this world. Imagine that God so humbled himself that he came into this world through a womb, just like the rest of us. He suffered the humiliation of being a baby and a toddler and a young person and parents, and he had to obey them. And he came into this world and grew up just like all of us. Now here's how we think as humans. Well, why didn't he just come full grown? He could have come full grown, couldn't he? I mean, that's how Superman, Batman, and all the other, you know, heroes, they disappear full grown. Couldn't Jesus have just come full grown? He could have if he'd have wanted to. But he didn't choose to do that. He came as a baby. If God, and people ask things all the time, if God knows and all this is bad and Satan's going to be defeated, why doesn't he just come back right now and take care of all this stuff right now? Why we got to go through all this? You selfish thing. Think everybody else down through the centuries had suffered and carried their cross and been through life and we just want a free ride out of here without any trouble? Why don't God just come back right now and just take care of this? Well, he could if he wanted to. He could if he wanted to. Why not just send the disciples out at the very beginning? You know, Jesus passed by Peter and James and John and all them fellas and he said, "Follow me and ye shall be fishers of men." Why didn't he just, boom, put the Holy Ghost on them and just send them out right there. Save all that time walking around, doing all that stuff. Can you imagine what a mess they had made of things? If they would have not had those 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's something it'd be good for us to think about tonight. God does not have a problem with time. We do. Isn't that true? All this stuff doesn't bother the Lord. He's got it on his calendar. He knows what's going on. Time doesn't bother him. It didn't bother him to be born as a baby and to live for 30 years in obscurity. And as far as we know, and I know it's not how it was, but as far as what we read in the Bible, did basically nothing until the fullness of time was come. Time doesn't bother God. Time bothers us. Waiting bothers us. Why not now? If God's blessings and God's mercies are gotten prematurely, then they're not blessings. Why don't God just do this right now? Because if God did whatever it is you're wanting so bad right now, it wouldn't be a blessing. It'd be a curse. The right time has to come. It's hard for us, you know. I was thinking about this. Most little 7, 8, 9-year-old little girls, you know, they all go through a stage and they say, "Oh, I just want to be married," and they've got them all picked out and what they're going to wear and what song they're going to sing at the wedding. That's how it is in my house. Oh, they just think about it, you know. And guys, I don't think are like that. I never thought about that much, I don't think. Girls think about stuff like that. But no parent says, "Well, you're going to get married anyway. Just go ahead. 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old. Well, you're going to eventually get married anyway. Yeah, just go ahead." Would that be a good idea? No. No, that's terrible. You got to wait. You got to wait. The best things, God's plan for your life, for my life, for Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, it's worth waiting on. God knows. I read something from one of my missionary friends today, Brother Stagner. He said, "God's plan is worth waiting for." Jesus told the church, he said, "Go and wait. Go and pray." Man, that waiting's hard. Number three, how the power came. Look in verse number 2. "And suddenly there came a sound." Suddenly, the Bible says. Now, they didn't grow into this. They didn't come to realize the power of God. I mean, it came suddenly. Suddenly. And you know what? God does work suddenly. We say, "Oh, it takes forever." But when God begins to move, he does it suddenly. And it usually surprises us. They were together. They were praying. And suddenly. Verse number 2. "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them." Now I've got underlined in verse 2. "As of a rushing mighty wind. And like as of fire." When the Spirit of God came in power, they heard it. It was like a rushing mighty wind. I was reading about somebody that had went through a tornado, lived through a tornado. And they said before the tornado got there, it sounded like 1,000 freight trains coming on them. I sort of imagine that's how it was, because everybody in Jerusalem came to find out, what in the world is going on up here? That sound. They heard. They saw, the Bible says, like cloven tongues of fire. Not fire upon them, but it looked like licks of flames upon them. They heard, they saw. Now, wind and fire. John chapter number 3, Jesus said the Spirit of God was likened unto the wind. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it cometh from. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is like the wind. The Spirit of God is like fire. That is two things that cannot be controlled by man. You can't control the wind. And a big old fire gets out and gets to burning, you can't control that either. It's a type of the Spirit of God. And I think sometimes, and especially preachers, are guilty of trying to manipulate the Spirit of God and trying to work something up to get something happening in the church. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can sing all the extra stanzas you want to. But I really agree with what Dr. Ben Bird used to say. He used to say, if the Spirit of God cannot give an invitation, I sure can't. Well, when the Spirit of God's moving, you don't have to pull teeth. You got to get out of the way. That's how it is. Suddenly, when the Spirit of God, when Chloe got saved a few weeks ago, we weren't expecting that. It happened suddenly. That's such a blessing to see that. It's been a long time. Seems like she got under conviction and she got saved. Praise the Lord. Happened suddenly. It's like having babies. All of you that have had children, you know how it is. Your wife, oh, she's just convinced as anything she's going early. She's going to have this baby just any minute. Might be a month away. Due date. She just thinks she's about to pop. But then you go through that little stage where you think, this baby ain't never coming. That's awful. Boy, I'm telling you, towards the end, if you go past that due date, I wish they never give due dates. I'm telling you, that's awful. I think Noah was a week past. That's the longest week of my life. We walked. This baby ain't never going to show up. But let me tell you, when the baby shows up, it's suddenly. Because you get to saying that, we're never going to have this baby. And then all of a sudden, oh yeah, we are definitely going to have this baby. And you have the baby. Suddenly. That's why Jesus said that, what he was talking about, that we need a new birth. We need a sudden thing in our life that changes us from what we once were to what we've never been in our lives. That's the Spirit of God. I witnessed to that fellow and I asked him tonight, I said, you ever been saved? You know what that is? Do you have a relationship with the Lord? Yes. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I said, how do you know? Said, there was a time in my life and he told me about it. Praise the Lord. You got to have a time in your life. Nobody was born a Christian. You're not saved just because your parents are or your grandparents are. Suddenly, notice number 4, to whom the power came. In verse number 3, the Bible said, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Spirit is available to all of us, to every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The manifestation of the Spirit of God may be different in our lives, but it's the same power. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We're all supposed to be filled with the Spirit. It's not that preachers and the pulpit has a monopoly on it. In fact, I think there's a whole lot of preaching that doesn't have much of the Spirit of God on it. But God can use the housewife. God can use the student, the boy, the girl. You're saved by the grace of God. You ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's the only way you say, I'm praying for my friends and I'm praying for somebody I work with and somebody I buy my groceries off of or whatever. And praying for them is great, but you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. I was talking with somebody today, a believer. And I had an extended period of time to talk with this person. I'd never had a very much time to talk with them, and they said I had prayed that I would just like to have some time to talk with Lynn. And God worked things out. I had some time to talk with somebody. It was a blessing. You say, how do you know if you're being used by the Lord? If you're really being used by the Lord, you probably won't know it. But it'll be a blessing to somebody. And they'll say, I needed that. Well, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Look last of all what the power produced. The effect upon themselves, first of all, in verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance, they were possessed and controlled by the Spirit of God. You know, we talk a lot of times about that somebody's devil possessed. We need some Christians that are spirit possessed. If somebody is devil-possessed or demon-possessed, a demon controls them. We need some people that are possessed by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God controls us. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all used by the Lord. There was an effect upon them, first of all, the believers, but then there was an effect upon others. In verse number 6, the Bible said, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. The Bible said they were confounded. That word means to throw an assembly into disorder. These people from all different nations were gathered together there to celebrate the Passover, the day of Pentecost. That's why this multitude was in Jerusalem. But now they hear this commotion. They go up there. The Bible says they are confounded. There's confusion. Why were they confounded? Well, you would be confounded too. Look what the Bible said in verse number 10. Or verse number 6 says this, they were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And verse 10, or verse 11 says, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. You know, there's a lot of people out here that talk about talking in tongues, speaking in tongues. Well, I've yet to see that. You know what tongues in the Bible was? The disciples spoke in their language, and the people that were from all these different places heard them in their language. You'd be confounded too. If a man was up preaching in Spanish, I almost was speaking in tongues right there, but it's an accident. Spreaking. If a man was up preaching in Spanish, I would recognize that as being Spanish or Portuguese. They're pretty close. I think I could pick that out. But if all of a sudden I heard that man in the English language, but I knew he was speaking in Spanish, but I was hearing that in my own language, I'd be pretty confounded too. They looked around and they said, what in the world? We have never experienced or heard anything like this. That's the miracle of tongues in the Bible. It's not this language that nobody's ever heard of. They were languages, known languages, and people heard them in their own tongue or interpreted a language that they did not know. They're not doing that on TV. They might be doing something, but they're not doing that. Well, that's just food for thought, but they were confounded. They were amazed and they marveled in verse number 7. Now, you got to realize there's a lot of people from a lot of different places. And verse 7 said, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? They're not from around. We're not from around. They were amazed. They marveled, the Bible said. Some, the Bible said, were in doubt in verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, what meaneth this? Some in verse number 13, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. When the Spirit of God really, really moves, some people are going to listen. Some people are going to be amazed. Some people are going to be confounded. Some people are going to mock. Have you ever been to a church service and you invited a friend? And I mean, the Spirit of God really showed up. And when you're sitting there, you think, man, I don't know what they're going to think about this. I don't know what they're going to think about this. Well, they might just get saved. They might go away. I've had people go away and they say, well, I've been to church, but I've never been to church like that. That's different. They might go away and make fun. But I'll tell you, they all went away different from when they came. And I guarantee you this, they never forgot that day. We need the Spirit of God. We don't need to come to church and go away. And on Monday morning, I just can't remember much about it. I don't think the Spirit of God was much in that. I'm talking about my own self. Sometimes I can't remember what I preached on. Isn't that bad? But I'll tell you, when the Spirit of God shows up, all week long, you're feasting on that. Lost people don't need to come in and go away. What'd you think about that? Not much. Didn't get anything out of it. If lost people are coming and going away unaffected, we're doing something wrong. We need the power of the Spirit of God in our midst. These are just basic things. This is not rocket science. How did they do so well? They just had the power of the Spirit of God. That's all we need. That's what we need in our midst. We need the power of God. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Really pray about the service on Sunday. I've had 2 weeks to pray about this and think about this. And I prayed a few weeks ago. I said, Lord, if you give me a word on a certain subject, I'll preach on it. But it's got to come from you. And boy, we need the power of God. We need the power of God in our midst. Let's pray. Let's look for that. Let's seek that. As God's people. So I appreciate you coming out tonight. And I appreciate those that listened and watched on Facebook. And I appreciate the good liberty to preach. Now we're going to go to the Lord in prayer in just a few.